know, thanks, buddy. The other day I was, when he was singing that song, he was talking about Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, and when he said, he is the lamb and the lion, I heard that statement the other day on the radio, and I don't remember who said it, but you have to think about Jesus. He's the lion and the lamb. He's got a soft side, but he's also got a side that's like a warrior. We serve a God who had a lot of people, you know, want to put God in a box. God has emotion just like we do. He's a fighter, but he's also a lover. And that's the God we serve. And I'm telling you, boy, that song right there, boy, I was just about in tears over here. And I'm almost there again. That was powerful. And that's what makes music so special, guys. The music has to matter to you. If some of you guys come to church because you think music doesn't matter and you're just like, I want to wait till the music's over, I just want to come hear the ministry and all that, you're doing it wrong. I'm not telling you you're going to hell for it, but I'm telling you you're doing it wrong. Because the music matters. Absolutely matters. The praise and worship matters. If it didn't matter, Satan wouldn't even exist. Because he was the worship leader in heaven. If God didn't care about worship and music, Satan wouldn't even exist, and we probably wouldn't even have these issues. But it mattered. It mattered to God. And if it matters to him, it's a matter to you. So with all that being said, whew, man, that was good, Danny. That was so good. Thank you. You visitors, you guys that are here for the very first time, first of all, I want to say thank you for coming. I know you could have gone anywhere today, but you chose to come here, and I know most of you guys probably come with family. You might be here from out of town for the holiday, and we certainly can understand that. But and first of all, I want to say thanks to all of our military and I'm so excited about July the 4th. We got to sit on the porch last night, watched the firecrackers, and let me tell you something. You know, Corona might be trying to destroy this nation, but this nation's fighting. I ain't kidding. Very, very few people that I see that are absolutely walking in fear. I go in houses all the time. I go in to do bathroom remodels with Rebath, and I walk into homes all the time, and 99% of them are like, nah, you don't need a mask. They're all like, nah, you don't need that old mask. Come on in. And then there's some that are like, yes, please put your mask on, sir. Yes. So if you're wondering why people aren't wearing masks here, we're exempt, okay, from all those real, yeah, and we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Man, if you're scared, plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. What's the worst that could happen? You die? That's the worst that's going to happen. I mean, if you're saved, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you ain't saved, yeah, maybe Corona's an issue for you. But it ain't for me. That doesn't mean we're stupid. You know, we don't walk in fear. We follow the rules, follow the guidelines. Yes, yes, yes. We do all those things. But overall, we ain't walking in fear. Amen? I mean, we were made for a time such as this. This is our time. This is what we were made for. We're the bold ones. We're the ones that have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have it in the Old Testament. We got it. And I don't know, man. I'm a little fired up, I guess. I hadn't been up here since February. So, I mean, it's been a weird season. Weird. I remember going on spring break, you know, because most of y'all know I'm a teacher. When we hit spring break, you know, we got the announcement spring break that we weren't going back to school. And, you know, it was good and bad. You know, I got away from the kids, which was great, but, you know, I missed them a little bit. I missed being there, but there were some of them, you know, they were a little tougher. But I sure enjoyed being at home. Guys, this is a time to get set free. If there's ever been a time to grow, it's right now. You have lots of free time. Amen? And by the way, if you're a visitor, back to the visitors, we're so thankful that you came. And if you are a visitor here, you probably got a little packet in the foyer. And if you did, please fill out the card. that's inside of that little packet and put it in these offering buckets before the day is over. We'd appreciate it. So if you're a visitor, would you please raise your hand while we honor you right quick? Just raise your hand. Is there anybody? There's a few. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Genesis chapter 41. I was listening the other day. If you're new here, we spend just a few minutes in tithes and offerings, and it's just, guys, we don't do religion at this church. We're not afraid to talk about the blood of Jesus. We're not afraid to talk about money. Why? Because we want you to know both of those things, because both of those things matter. The blood of Jesus shed for you so that when you die, you get to go to heaven. And you don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to worry about corona. You don't have to worry about being sick. You can get set free from that. The blood of Jesus was for that. And the money part, if you say that money doesn't matter to you, you're a liar. You're an absolute liar, because money, if money didn't matter, you wouldn't have a job. So money does matter to you. And it matters to God. He talked more about money than any other thing in the Bible. He talked more about finances, prosperity, money than any other thing. Even more than faith. In Genesis 41, I was listening to T.D. Jakes the other day, minister. And I saw him, he was going over these scriptures, and I was like, my, this is perfect for tithes and offerings. Perfect. Because we are in seasons right now that are very weird, and they're up and down, and they're like, oh yeah, everything's open, let's go out to eat. And then we go back into hiding again. We have to go back to our homes, and we have to wear masks. We look like Darth Vader, and, you know, and everything has changed so much. But we were made for a time such as this. This is our time, man. This is it. Chapter 41 in Genesis, verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, let me try to say that right, it's split up in my book, Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. He named him that because of that. Manasseh stood for helping me forget all that happened to me, all my toil. If you read the Amplified, he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and hardship and all the sorrow of the loss of my father's house. If you know the story of Joseph, you know that Joseph was sold into slavery. He was thrown into a pit by his brothers. They pulled him out of the pit. They sold him into slavery. He went to Egypt. So he made him forget his father's house. Verse 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He's caused him to forget. How many of you know the battles in your mind? There ain't nothing that will fight you more than your mind. Nothing. You think devils are bad? Devils ain't near as bad as your imagination. You can work up things in your head and imagine things that the devil would have never thought about putting there. He said, God has caused me to forget. Now, if you know in the Old Testament days, they would name their kids usually after a situation. Notice, remember that? You know, they'd always name their kids after what had happened or what they'd been through or what God had said, this child is going to be this, you need to name him this. Okay? Children were a reminder of what they had been through. How many of you know you got to put things in front of you that you need to remind you of your victories? If you can get it in front of you, you can get it out of you. You have to put things in front of you that remind you of your victories. Your memory is not to replay all of your failures. Your memory is for replaying all of your victories. Don't ever forget that. Manasseh and Ephraim, he has made me to forget my affliction. He has helped me to be prosperous in the land of my affliction. He didn't walk into Egypt and all of a sudden become second in command to Pharaoh. He spent a little time in the pen. Amen? You know the story of Joseph. He spent some time in the pen. But he prospered when he was there. He knew that if he would stay focused on God, that eventually he would get where he wanted to go. You have got, now in prison, you don't get, you know, to hang up posters. Well, I guess if you're in minimal security, I don't know anything about prison. Me and Danny were talking about this a while ago. He's in prison ministry right now. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable there. I've never even been in handcuffs. I've been in cuffs once, but I was released because I was innocent. You know, they figured out like, oh, okay, you're good. You're good to go. Man, them suckers hurt. But if you've never been there, if you've never actually lived it, it's kind of hard to associate with those people. So what I told Danny, I said, you know what? It doesn't matter what you've been through. It's what you found out. You just go in there and tell them about Jesus. So anyway, so he's in prison ministry, which is a great thing, because those people need, if there's anybody who needs Jesus, it's them peoples. They need to hear about who can save them, not who can lock them up. In these times, in this season right now, this is your opportunity to focus and forget. Forget. And stay focused on the victories that you're having. My friends, you don't get rich overnight unless you win the lottery. You have to have small little victories to get there. You have to take it one step at a time. In these times, I know it's weird, there's people losing jobs. People are laying people off. They can't afford to pay them. Some of you guys are dealing with old stuff. You're dealing with memories of all your failures. You're having memories of, well, I've been laid off before. I'm probably next. Then there's heartache, there's hurt, and it comes in, and then you start meditating on everything that's wrong or everything that's went wrong, and you lose track and lose focus of what you should be focusing on, which is Ephraim. Focusing on how God has blessed you, even if there's affliction. Even if there's affliction. My friends, to get to any level in life, it might require a little pain. I don't know, sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it does. It requires a little bit of hard work. It requires maybe getting up early, going to bed early, not staying up all night watching Netflix, or being on the internet. All the kids are smiling, looking at mom right now. They're like, oh, sorry, mom. Yeah. Sorry. Am I right? If you read the Message Bible, it actually says double prosperity. My friends, God cares about your money. There's one thing he cares about. It's what he can do for you to get you out of hell, and money. Money causes lots of issues in marriage. If there's a lack of money, there's arguments. And if there's arguments, there's confusion. And then if there's confusion, there's divorce. And then if there's divorce, there's hatred. And then if there's hatred, there's hurt. And then there's pain and there's regret. And then you start focusing on what you could have done and what you didn't do and what you should have done this, should have done that. My friends, money matters. It matters. God cares about you, and he loves you, and he wants to help you in these times. I don't care if you got laid off, or if you got fired, or if your company's going through layoffs and you're scared. Don't be scared. Don't focus on that. You need to know that your job is not your provider. God is. God is your provider. Amen. Y'all come give a big round of applause. Come on up today. Come on up. Big old round of applause. Come on. Y'all clap for tithes and offerings today. Come on up. Yes. Hustle, hustle, hustle. Do it to us. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you. Lord. Thank you. Amen. Yes. Yes, set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Friends, cannot walk in fear in these times. Y'all go ahead and pass out the communion. It's like I said earlier, you know, they said if you've watched the news or you've watched anything about the corona. You know that the coronavirus has a crown, as you heard me pray earlier. The spiritual crown that you wear is greater than the crown on that virus. You have authority over that virus. I don't care what strain it is. You know, they say the strains are weakening and all that, and the strain of the virus itself is not as strong as it was, and you know, the symptoms are different. You know, you can't get in fear if somebody sneezes or coughs around you. Amen? Could just be allergies. Could just be they had some dirt in their nose from sweeping this morning. And I know this is a hot spot, you know, in the Austin area, it's a hot spot, you know. Guys, we got to look at this like, man, it's almost time. I mean, these are end times. He said there would be pestilence and plague and trials and famines and people in high places persecuting us, and we just can't be afraid, man. If there's one thing you can't be, is afraid. You can't worry and you can't be afraid. We take communion once a month, first weekend of every month, and I'm going to be in Isaiah 26. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to be all over the place in a few scriptures today in the message, but I'm going to walk you through right quick what verse 1 through 4 says in Isaiah 26. He says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in." It's coming. We're almost there. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." This is the most important scripture right here. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Now, there's three different parts of that scripture. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Now, there's peace and there's perfect peace. Perfect peace, there's no worry, there's no anxiety, there's no fear. Yeah, you might have some peace, but perfect peace, perfect love, perfected love, we know cast out all fear. "Thou wilt keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on thee." The reason you have perfect peace is because your mind is stayed on God. And it says, because he trusts in thee. The reason why you have the focus on God, is because why? You trust in thee. And because you trust in thee, you will have perfect peace. Guys, when you read scripture, you got to read it slow and you got to think about it and focus on it. Don't read through them real quick. If you break that scripture down, it helps you understand perfected peace. Because your mind is stayed on thee, and because you have decided to focus on God, and because you have trusted, you have perfected peace. Verse 4, it says, "Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." In the Lord Jehovah. There's one thing we need right now, guys, is perfected peace. Not just I'm satisfied with God, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die, I'm totally okay, you know, everything's going to be good. Don't just say, you know, I'm not in fear of the virus. You know, add some Bible to that. Add some scripture to that. Don't be lazy in your spirit, man. Don't be lazy with making this thing work for you. The Bible was written so that we would know what to put in our eyes, so that it got in our heart, so that it would come out our mouth. It like takes a big U-turn in the eyes to the heart, takes a U-turn, comes back out the mouth. And it has to operate that way. I ain't afraid of that virus. Well, I know a bunch of cowboys, we're all a bunch of cowboys in here. None of the cowboys are afraid of viruses. I mean, we've thrown cows down, we've rode broncs, we've been bucked off, we've landed in the mud, we always get back up. A little old virus that's so small you can't see it unless you have a microscope, we're not afraid of that. And even if you did get it, you wouldn't be afraid of dying. Because why? Because cowboys are fighters. We got guns and firecrackers and we sing the national anthem. And we believe in July the 4th. We believe in freedom and the Constitution. We're not afraid of those things. We're just not. We're just not afraid of those things. So we're confident and bold, but man, you've got to work this thing in order to keep the faith. You got to say it out of your mouth. You should be saying, "Thou will keep him in perfected peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." You've got to say things like that out of your mouth. Because what does it do? It starts building your spirit man up. And then you start feeling better. No, it's not the coffee that makes you feel better. I don't care how bad you think that coffee makes you feel better. That is a physical feeling. That is not a spirit. Now, you might get the aroma might set you free. But that's not what sets you free. It's not the coffee. It ain't the sweet tea. It ain't the Dr. Peppers. Ain't the Coca-Cola that sets you free. Those are flesh things. It is the Word of God that changes your body, your spirit man, and gives you the confidence you need to be a child of the Most High God and serve the Lion and the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. First of all, we just say thank you. Thank you for the music today. Thank you that worship and godly wisdom is in this place. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, dying for us on the cross. And we say out of our mouths that we will trust you and have perfected peace. We will focus on you because of what you did for us. We are honored that you shed your blood and allowed your body to be destroyed for us so that we could walk in victory. We declare victory in our lives. We declare supernatural, divine prosperity to come on us, no matter if we're afflicted or if we're walking in victory right now. It doesn't matter. Prosperity can come either in either form. It can come no matter how bad or good we feel. So we thank you for your Son dying for us, and we give this time to you and ask you to forgive us wherever we have failed you, Lord. We receive this communion today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may eat and drink. Pass your cups down. We'll take them up from you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, buddy. Good to see y'all. God bless you. Good to see you. So glad y'all came today. How's my hair look? Good. I can get the time. If I can, Rich, I don't look like you. I'm working on that. I'm getting there. I want to be there, baby. I want to be able to do this in the wind. Drive, stick your head. I'm already good. I got it. I want to be able to stick my head out the truck, you know, like a truck driver. Like a puppy dog. Let my tongue hang in the wind. Let the hair flow. Feel like Samson. Woo. Youth. Youth and kids are going to go out today, so would y'all please clap for the youth and all the little kids and clap for the teachers. Teachers, thank you for volunteering. By the way, we have Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of July. It's July 27th through the 30th. It's a Monday through Thursday, and it's 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So if you guys would like to sign up for that, sign your kids up, or if you'd like to volunteer, please see Mary. She'd love for your to have y'all's help, so, and trust me, she needs it, so, Vacation Bible School, I mean, you gotta, I know, because you got to wrangle all the little dumplings around. Come over here. No. Take your eyes off that flower over there. Get over here in line. And by the way, if you didn't pick up your banners, if you sponsor the rodeo, please pick up your banners before you leave too. I want to preach to you today about three different words that have meant a lot to me in the past few months. We've even got them on our mirror, you know. We got those scriptures up on the mirror. Got like 10 or 15 of them, and I'm trying to memorize all of them, but there's some really good ones. But I want to focus on three words: restore, refresh, and wonder. All three of those things. I'm going to go to three different scriptures to kind of set this, to kind of set up the message, and you can write them down if you want, or you can hustle to them, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there. I'm going to hustle to them. It's going to be Isaiah 42:22. Also Acts 3:19. And also Joel 2:26. Now, if you want to hold your spot in Genesis, that's where we're going to be. Genesis 45 is where we're going to be, okay, for the main part. But I want to focus on these three scriptures and go to them right quick and hustle through them. Joel, J-O-E-L, Joel 2:26. So in Isaiah 42, I want to read you this scripture right quick and kind of set this message up. But I'm going to kind of hustle through them. So Isaiah 42, verse 22 says, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers, for a spoil. And none says, restore." You see how God's trying to get people to say stuff out of their mouth here? He says, restore. He said, nobody says restore. I'm like, he's like, all these people are, you know, men, they're in prisons, they're robbed and spoiled, they're living, you know, all of them are snared in holes and all hidden prison houses. In other words, he said they've been taken captive. You know, whether it's physical or emotional or mentally, they're all taken captive. He said, none of them are saying restore. I heard she went to the kids' church. I heard her telling somebody over here the other day, I think it was Sybil. And she was talking to Sybil, she's like, I pray restoration on you. Man, we got to say that. Restoration. Anything that's been broken needs to be restored. I always tell my kids, you can do whatever you want in this house. I don't care. Whatever you tear up can be fixed. Everything in here is fixable. Now, I don't tell them to get out baseballs and throw them at mirrors, but I let them know that, you know, we don't live in fear of, oh, we can't replace that, or we can't afford to replace it if it breaks. My daughter wrecked the golf cart the other day. Broke the frame on it. But guess what? Golf carts are fixable. And if you don't fix them, you can buy another one. Amen? So, you know, so she was really upset about it. And I told her, look, I was like, you know, I'm upset that you panicked when the dogs were chasing you. That dogs ain't going to bite you in that golf cart. I said, but you panicked and you wrecked. I was like, this should be a lesson to you. You can't live life in panic mode. You just can't. So she broke the frame right by where the tire, she hit that telephone pole and bent the tire back and broke the frame. It's aluminum frame. I mean, they're little wimpy frames. But anyway, anything that's broken can be restored. Everything. There's nothing that gets broke that can't be fixed. Nothing. Acts 3:19. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Time of refreshing. Joel chapter 2 verse 26. He says, "And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, and who hath dealt wondrously, wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." He said, he has dealt wondrously with us so that you may never be ashamed. How do you think the Israelites felt in Egypt? You think they were all like, oh boy, it sure is great here. They're beating us with whips today. Sure feels good. Oh, we got to make the bricks now. We got to gather our own stuff to make the bricks now. Oh, that's fantastic. No, they weren't saying that at all. If you ain't got money, if your finances don't look good, don't walk in shame. Our God will deal wondrously with you. He has plans, and if you will just get in the flow, just get in the river, get off the banks, jump in the river, and let the water take you where He wants you to go, you'll get there. I've always said this. I said this a long time ago. It came to my mind. This is the straight and narrow path right here. This is it. This is the straight and narrow path. Everything outside of that is hell. Okay? This is the straight and narrow path. Everything between the covers of this book is the straight and narrow path. Everything outside of the covers of this book is the path to destruction. And it's much bigger than this path. The path to destruction is much bigger than this path. That path is wide because there's a lot of them going. There's a lot of people going there. There's a lot of people that will be in hell. It's just a fact of life. The good thing is hell wasn't designed for us. The coronavirus wasn't designed for us. Fear was not designed for us. God loves to see people use their faith. And when you start saying the words out of your mouth, that's using your faith. Back to Genesis chapter 45. And this is where we're going to stay. I want to read to you the story of Joseph. I want you to we're going to focus on Joseph. We all know previous chapters. He was set up, thrown into a pit. They pulled him out, sold him to the Egyptians. He was sold into slavery. He spent some time in the pen, but he stayed focused. And he hung in there. And eventually he got out of prison and became second in command to Pharaoh, which is where we're picking up today. Chapter 45. Did I tell you all that? Chapter 45. Let me get there myself. We're going to talk about restoration first. Then we're going to talk about the wonders of God. And then we're going to talk about the times of refreshing as we get to the end of this chapter. Verse 1, it says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them, and it stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.'" In other words, he's saying, get everybody out of the room. He had the authority to make sure everybody left, and he told everybody, he said, "All right, everybody out." This is Joseph sitting down with his brothers, about to reveal himself about who he is. Because in those times, you know, the pictures are probably true. You know, you see the pictures of the pharaohs, they all had on makeup, and they all wore wigs. They usually shaved their heads, and they wore wigs. And they wore makeup. Yes, they had Maybelline and mascara and all that back then, okay? But I'm sure they made them out of something. I don't know what they made them out. I'm sure it was pretty organic, though. But, you know, he had on makeup probably. He probably shaved his head, and they couldn't tell because he had a wig, and he was older, and he looked different. And he hid himself from them. But now he's about to reveal himself. He said, "Cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it." So I'm sure his living quarters, or wherever they were eating, was pretty close to where Pharaoh dwelt. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?'" I like how he went right into it. He's like, "Hey, I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?" Instead of saying, "Hey guys, I'm Joseph, you know, I'm really alive, it's me, you know, come hug me, let's get to know each other again. No, he went right into it. "Is my father still alive?" Now, if you watch the story of Joseph here, you'll see the story of Jesus intertwined with all of this. "And his brethren could not answer him." Why? Well, they sold him into slavery. I'm sure they were ashamed. They were absolutely like, "What? You're Joseph? You're our brother." He says, "For they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near me, I pray you.'" So I'm sure they like gasped, took a step back. You can just see them getting up from the dinner table and taking steps back like, "No way. This is really you?" It says, "And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt.'" You can see a restoration happening. In order to be restored, there has to be a gathering or a drawing near. Anytime a relationship has been destroyed, you have to draw near again. You don't just, you know, now, there are times in relation, or like friends, you know, or somebody did you wrong. You know, you might say, "You know, I forgive you, you forgive me, that's great." You know, you just become acquaintances then. But when it's closer than that, whether it's a family member and something's been destroyed, there has to be a drawing near. There has to be. You notice in the first verse it says that he wept. Now we know just a few scriptures before, he's playing mind games with them, putting silver cups in their bags, making it look like they stole something. I don't know if Joseph had really forgiven them yet. Until he told everybody to get out and he started weeping, I think the forgiveness began to occur. There are going to be, guys, there ain't no time like now to be restored. We've got plenty of time. If we're all going to have to be at home and we can only 50% of us can go out to eat anymore, or 50% of us can go to the movies, we're going to be spending a lot of time together, aren't we? In order for there to be restoration, there has to be a drawing near. Because you can see here that they got away from him. They were troubled at his presence. And it said, he said, come near to me, I pray you. He's asking for, he's like, guys, come on. He said, I've told you who I am. Let's get to know each other. You know, at least come give me a hug or something. You know, we'll talk about this later, but at least come give me a hug. There has to be a drawing near. There has to be a sit down, a conversation. My friends, most of the problems in life that you have with close family members is a missing conversation. If there is a missing conversation in a relationship, if somebody comes to you and says something bad about so and so, or even if it's a family member, until you have that conversation that's missing, there's going to be tension. And until you have that conversation, there won't be a restoration. And until you have that conversation, you won't know all the facts. Them stories can get changed quite a bit when they're traveling from one person to the next. They might have an overall view of probably what's going on, but they're not going to tell you all the facts. They're not going to tell you the whole story. They're not going to tell you all the little details. And in verse 5 he says, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent Joseph and used him to preserve the nation of Israel. God is always trying to preserve a remnant. Always. He knew, man, there was times when God was absolutely about to open up the earth and throw them all in it. But there was a remnant. He told Moses, he said, I'm going to put them in a pit and we're going to start over. But there was a remnant. God has always tried to preserve. He's preserving. I mean, guys, we are adopted into the family of Abraham. When God made a promise to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you at your family so big, it's going to be as big as the sand of the sea. You can't even count them all. It's as big as many stars as you can count. We were adopted into that family. There also has to be a forgiving. Joseph began to forgive in order for there to be restoration. There has to be a forgiveness in these times. Even if your boss does you wrong, even if you get fired or they lay you off, guys, you got to forgive and move on. You got to say, you know what? That's over. That season's over. Let's start a new one. Right? These are weird times. I mean, the inflation is weird. You know, it's high. It's as high as it's ever been. Job loss is as high as it's ever been, even though we were absolutely killing it there for a while. Until a little old, can you see how, let me tell you something. If you think little things don't matter, you'd be lying to yourself, because that little old bitty tiny virus shut the whole world down. The whole world. Little hinges swing big doors. Little keys unlock the door. The little things matter. If you think your conversation doesn't matter, you better watch your words, because everything you say to people, everything that comes out of your mouth, all the little details matter. Little old bitty virus shut the whole world down. Verse 6, it says, for these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in that in the which you, there shall neither be earing nor harvest. In other words, there ain't going to be any harvest. There's a famine in the land. There's not going to be growing any corn. I mean, they're letting the land rest for 7 years. No cows working, no horses pulling plows, nobody getting up early to go plow the ground or go tend to it or make sure it's all doing good or to put out the, I don't know, did they have pesticide back then? I don't know. He said, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity into the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. Now I would like to get into detail on that right there. It's probably going to take some time. But when it says he's been made a father to Pharaoh, I mean, I could preach on this probably forever, but that tells me their relationship was probably pretty good. When you become a father to somebody, I mean, it almost, and I can't prove this, I haven't studied it, but it almost sounds like Pharaoh looked up to Joseph, even though he was Pharaoh. And the Lord of all his house and the ruler throughout all the land of Egypt, haste you and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt, come down to me and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near me, near unto me, thy and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. In other words, he's saying, go get your families, bring them here, we're going to be together forever. He's done playing mind games with them, done putting silver, he's done with putting silver cups in their satchels to and accusing them of stuff. Now he's like in full restoration right here. He says, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth speaking to you. In other words, he's still trying to convince them. He's like, guys, you can see my mouth moving. This is Benjamin. Benjamin's standing right here. Am I who I say I am? And he's like, yes, I am. Please believe me. Please trust me. Go do what I say. And he says, and you tell my father all of my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin. Now, this is, again, going back into restoration, forgiveness. You can see it happening right here. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren. You see a full restoration right here in this verse. He says, moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. So they went from full, oh my God, to sitting down with him and having a full conversation and talking and getting to know him again. So verses 14 and 15 show a total restoration, a total set free, a total relationship being restored. Totally. And in verse 16, we're going to talk about wondrously. Now watch what happens here with Pharaoh. Watch what God does through Pharaoh. Verse 16, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh. You know, in those days, Pharaoh and Israel and the Jews, they all got along. It wasn't until later on that they became, went 400 years into slavery because of the wrong Pharaoh. But Pharaoh was pleased. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 17, say unto thy brethren, this do, lay your beasts and go get into the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do. In other words, he's commanding them, guys. He's like, guys, do this. Do what I tell you. Go get your family. In other words, he's passionate. He's trying to find a way to bless them. He's going out of his way to make sure that they all understand, I'm Pharaoh, and this is what I'm telling you to do. Do not be ashamed. In verse 20, you see that also. He says, also regard not your stuff, for the goods of all the land is yours. If you read the Amplified, it says, do not be concerned with your goods, for the best of the land of Egypt is all yours. I was reading another translation yesterday. It was saying, do not be ashamed. How many of you know some people, when they start getting blessed, somebody powerful or somebody at the highest level walks in and says, hey, I want to bless you. What's the first thing your mind does? Oh, well, I don't know if I'm worthy of all that. I'm kind of ashamed. I'm ashamed that we're even here asking for food. And Pharaoh says, do not be ashamed. Do not worry about all that stuff. He says, get your stuff and get here. Verse 21, and the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment. In other words, he took them shopping. took them to Kohl's or Dillard's or Macy's, pick out the finest linens on the rack. What do you need? What size are you? And I like this. You tell me people don't play favorites. Watch this. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. But, to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver. And that wasn't because Benjamin was probably the treasurer. He loved Benjamin. And I'm not quite sure, but I don't think Benjamin was around yet when, or maybe he was. I can't remember the story. He was real little, so he wasn't involved with throwing him into the pit. So I'm pretty sure he probably loved Benjamin a lot more than the other guys. He gave him the 300 pieces of silver. And he says, in five changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and then 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not by the way. Now watch this in the Amplified. It says, see that you do not quarrel on the journey about how to explain this to our father. Now it also could also mean this. You know, you could see all of them sitting there in the presence of Pharaoh and in the presence of Joseph, the guy that they did wrong. And then they're giving them all this stuff. You can just see them walking back home. You know, just talking and arguing with each other. Are you sure we should go back to Egypt? I mean, they gave us all this stuff. We don't need anything else. I can just see them arguing back and forth with each other. Saying, you know, should we take all this and just go back home and not mention anything to our father? Or, you know, and then I can see him arguing. No, we got to tell him. Pharaoh told us to do this. Joseph, the guy that we did wrong, that we owe it to him. So he commands them. This is what God's telling us to do. Anytime the blessings are walking in the door, don't argue with the blessing giver. Don't try to create arguments with somebody who's trying to bless you. Man, you got to learn how to be a receiver as much as you are a giver. You have to learn that principle. You have to learn how to receive as much. We're always talking about giving in the church, aren't we? Not many churches talk about the receiving part. Anytime you give, you should expect something in return. That's just the way God operates. Now, if it was written different in the Bible, I'd say, all right, now you owe it to the church. You're supposed to give. Don't you dare expect anything to come back to you. You just let God bless you if he wants to. But that's not how the book's written, is it? I mean, who would want to serve a God that always wanted to take from you and never give anything back? I mean, if that's the way he wanted to be, though, I guess we wouldn't have a choice. But thank God, God is not like that. God uses even Pharaoh to bless them. Even Pharaoh is excited about the whole situation. God will use people. He will surprise you and use people to bless you that you weren't expecting. You'll get raises at your job that you weren't expecting. Or maybe you were expecting. I mean, I shouldn't confess that. Maybe you were expecting. Maybe some of y'all don't expect things like that, and you should. Amen? You should be expecting prosperity. You should be expecting to go to the next level. I've told this story a few times that when I used to work for Dell Computers, I started working there, and I was there for like a few months, and I got hired about the time that the first time in their history they started handing out pink slips. The first time in history. Early 2000. Y'all know in the 90s and in the early 2000s, the computer thing was, that was it. Boy, all the computers, you know, Apple, Microsoft. I didn't even know what email was till I graduated high school. I didn't know much about the internet. It was all about mid-90s. And then the 2000s roll around, here comes something that nobody was expecting. All of a sudden, now we have this large company, multi-billion dollar company, laying people off. I got hired there, and I was like, oh, guess I know who's first. My mind was thinking I was going to be the first to go, because I was the last to get hired. But I had done so well in doing my job, collecting this money, because I was a collector. And I had collected all this money on what they call these early pay programs. If you pay early, you would take 10% off. Well, I focused on that, baby. I mean, I drove it home. I'd call them big accounts. It'd be like $1 million, $2 million. Hey, if you pay right now, I'll knock off 200 grand. Who would turn that down? So I kept bringing in that money, those early pays. And guess what? I didn't get laid off. The people that trained me got laid off. Can you believe that? But the people that trained me were good. They were just lazy. Didn't want to do their job. Some of them just didn't want to work. Some of them were stuck in old school mode, or they were stuck in the past, you know, still wanting to be college kids. People that trained me got let go first. Man, you talk about the blessing of God, and I was like, oh, man. You know, I was like doing everything I could just to believe. I was like, I'm just going to have to believe. If I get let go, I guess I'll do something else. I made it through. Why? Because God wants to deal wondrously with you. He wants you to put on this, like when He blesses you, He wants this, He loves to see this gigantic smile come on your face and just loves to hear you say thank you. That's the God we serve. That's the Father. He's a loving Father that loves to give to His children. He loves it. In verse 25, and as I close, now watch this. This is the refreshing. It says, and they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, so they decided on the way, all right, we're going to tell him. And they came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. So he gasped. He's like, what? This guy I'm mourning for probably weeks and days and months, he's alive? He wasn't eaten by an animal like y'all said he was? And I still wonder to this day if they ever told Jacob the real story of what happened. Because I don't know if it ever says in here that he does. And it says in verse 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, so you can see Jacob sitting in the tent, all of the brothers come in and say, hey, Joseph's alive. And Jacob, I don't think Jacob was believing him until he saw all of the stuff that they sent. They came back with more stuff than what they expected to buy. Because they knew it was going to take a little time, pack up all the tents, get all the goats and the sheep together. Might take a week or so to pack everything up and then head that way. He sent them more than they asked for. When he saw the wagons, verse 27, which Joseph has sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. The time of refreshing had come. The son that he had lost was alive. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die. He said, enough. Enough of this talk. Yeah, I can just see Jacob raising his hand. That's enough. I believe it. And I'll go see him before I die. The time of refreshing had come. My friends, refreshing comes when you hear the good news and you see what God has done for you. This is Jacob sitting in a tent. He didn't believe it. He should have. But, you know, it's kind of hard for him to trust. You know, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't trust the brothers. I don't know. Maybe because of the way they behaved all those years and after Joseph was supposedly dead. I don't know how they acted. Maybe he didn't trust them. The time of refreshing will come when you see and you hear. And if you can learn to say the word of God out of your mouth, if you can learn to say it out of your mouth, because what does the Bible say? How does faith get built? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith is built up. It's not just by reading the word. It don't work that way. You got to read it, and then you got to say it. And the more you say it, the more you believe it. And the more you believe it, the more refreshed you become. The more refreshed you become, the more faith gets built up on the inside of you. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And guess what? God's using you to lay hands on people. And then all of a sudden, you start seeing miracles performed in your presence. Not just at church. Not just at church. This is just a place where we all gather together and see some stuff happen. Yeah. But we're supposed to be out there doing it. Not just here. We expect it to happen here. The world doesn't expect it to happen out there. But when they do see it happen, they start believing it. And then they start going to church. You see how it all works? It's just like that virus. It spreads. Someone coughs on you with some spiritual anointing spit, and then all of a sudden you get set free, and then the virus spreads, and you start talking like Jesus, and then you start acting like Jesus, and all of a sudden you start going to church and start doing that tithing thing that everybody's scared of, and you start hearing people praying the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, all that stuff you were scared of for all those years. Now all of a sudden you're immersed in it. Now you're in the river. Now you're seeing the miracles. Now the refreshing is coming to you. Things are being restored. God is dealing wonders with you. And all of a sudden the refreshing starts to come, and you're no longer worried about losing your job or getting infected with a virus and worrying about what color your mask is going to be when you get on Amazon. I got to get purple to match my dress. Or I got to get blue to match this. The refreshing has to come. You cannot allow these times to destroy your relationships. You cannot allow these times to destroy your finances. You have to understand and believe that God wants you successful. No matter what religion has told you in the past, it don't work that way. It only works that way if you believe that way. The time of refreshing is now. We have all the time in the world. I've never in my life seen so many people restoring relationships, getting them back together with the family. And I've never seen workout equipment sold out at Academy in my life. All these people are starting to work out again. I know most of the people are losing their memberships at the workout places, but there's a lot of people just all of a sudden picked up working out because they ain't got nothing else to do. Mowed the grass, planted the bushes, moved the bricks from over here to over there. I guess I'll work out. You know what, though? That's what God's been wanting us to do this whole time. He's been wanting you to take care of your bodies. I have heard two ministers on TV and on the radio in the past month and a half talk about how God talked to them about getting in shape in order to fulfill the ministry. You know why? Because you can't be some slob and make it work. There's going to be traveling. There's going to be energy expensed. You're going to be giving out energy. You're going to need energy to go and do all these things, to get on airplanes, to get in cars, to stay in hotels. You're going to have to eat good. You're going to have to exercise. For the first time in my life, I actually enjoy a little bit of running. And I am not a runner, but I minimize it to like 12 minutes. They tell you 20. All right, I'll start with 10 and then work my way up. My wife, she can run miles and miles and miles and miles and forget that even kids exist and forget that we even have to eat dinner that night. She can just keep on running. She can run forever. I run two minutes. I'm like, has it been 8 minutes yet? And I look at my clock and it's been a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So I have to have music. So what I do is I play a song that's the length of time that I want to run. And when that song's over, I sprint home and I'm done. Now I walk in there sucking air. I will suck some air. But you know what I love doing more than anything? Staying in shape. Keeping my body ready. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Treat it accordingly. If there's a nation on this earth that has been a little bit slothful in that area, and we've done some things that, you know, that not good for our bodies, and we haven't taken care of them, it's America. Now, we have a lot of pride and tradition here. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, because I've been there. I love our traditions. But your tradition is not going to save you. What God told you to do in this word is the only thing that's going to save you. We have lots of traditions. We get together. Everything involves food. And we're always eating, even Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving. It all revolves around everybody just sitting down. And I'm guilty of it. And I regret it on Monday when I start running. That pie. I'll never eat pecan pie again. Yeah, right. My favorite thing is sweet tea, and I have to monitor it. I make the best sweet tea. Ain't nobody makes it better than me, I can promise you. But let me tell you something. God cares about your body. He cares about your money. He cares about your body. He cares about your salvation. He cares about where you're going when you die. It all matters. All of it. My wife has lost, you know,
how much weight have you lost, honey? You want to talk about weight in here? 15, 20 pounds. She looks great. Her shoulders are defined. I mean, we do this in the mirror at night because, I mean, you have to. Gosh, you've got to put things in front of you. Nobody exercises to look like a slob. Nobody puts a picture of Porky Pig on the wall as inspiration. You put Arnold Schwarzenegger in the workout room. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger used to do. When he'd go home, that's why he was the best. He'd go home and he'd look and he'd say, where do I need to work? He'd look in the mirror and he'd turn and look. He'd do this, he'd turn and look. And he's always looking to make it better. That's what God's asking you to do. Same thing. She looks great. Her shoulders are defined. She loves it. It's those type of things that keep us wanting to go back to the workout room. It's the Spirit of God and how we feel in His presence that keeps us going back to the prayer room. It all works the same. All of it applies. All of it. And we didn't talk weight, but anyway. Maybe I shouldn't have gone there. She's lost weight. I used to weigh 220. I've lost like 40 pounds, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. I was eating wrong. I had a kidney stone and an ulcer, and those were the two things that made me start eating right. It all matters, people. Every bit of it. And there ain't nothing wrong with working out and getting in front of the mirror and saying, oh, man, that was worth it today. It's what keeps you going. There's nothing wrong with that. You should. You got to put things in front of you to inspire you. You are responsible for inspiring yourself. Ain't nobody going to do it for you. Nobody. Nobody cares about your muscles or how in shape you're going to get. But when you do look good, everybody talks about it, don't they? And you're like, oh, thank you. You know, this is a nice dress, isn't it? I love it. I look great in it. And the reason I'm in it is because I've lost weight or I've gained weight and I've gained muscle or whatever. Don't lie. Don't look at me and don't think everything I'm saying is exactly right, Anna. And I just bob your head like this. I say, yeah, you're right. Let me tell you something. It ain't always fun. Workout is not always fun. It is absolutely painful sometimes. But you got to do it. I'm not telling you that you're going to go to hell because you didn't work out in the workout room. I'm just trying to tell you how to take care of yourself. Amen? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, all of those things apply. All of them. Do them. Find out what works for you. If you got to start with the shuffle and you run for 2.5 minutes, do it. That's how you start. Do it. Eventually you'll work up to 20 minutes. You'll be like, man, I look great. And you'll feel great. I promise you, you'll feel great. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're not saved today, I want to give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I know there's a few visitors in here. Maybe you've been going to church here for a while. Maybe you were coming during the time when we were all sitting in vehicles listening to Corey preach on a truck on a horse while we sat in our vehicles. And you are not saved. You haven't received Jesus as your Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. Do not let, just like Danny was singing, do not let the time pass. Do not let it get away from you. This is the most important thing that I will tell you all day long in this service, is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and the only way to get to heaven is to receive Him. That's the only way to get there. There's not an alternative. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He was the sacrificial Lamb that died for us. And I pray that if you've never received Him, that you'll pray this prayer with us today and receive Him right now into your heart. And I believe if you pray this prayer and mean it, you're going to go, you'll be set free, and you'll go to heaven when you leave this earth one day. And God will receive you into the heavenlies because you received His Son, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to pray this prayer after me and say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins, and I receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to see if there's anybody, if there's anybody that received Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to ask you to come to the front or anything like that. We just want to know if you received Jesus. It's kind of just a visual note, if there, you know, that it's a sign. It's what we call signs being performed in our presence. Believing that God died, sent His Son to die for us. If that was you, on the count of three, if you received Jesus for the very first time, if you could just raise your hand and let me know that was you on the count of three, I'd appreciate it. So just on the count of three, raise your hand if that was you. One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? All right, well, look at me. Very good. All right. All right, so you're all a bunch of Jesus freaks. That's good. I'm okay with that. Got a few quick announcements. Again, don't forget, next week, Corey and the band will be back. All the band will be here, and Corey will be here. I don't even know what town he's in. He's somewhere on this planet in the United States somewhere. But he will be back. And if you're new here, I'm the associate pastor. Our pastor's traveling. He has a traveling ministry. His heart is to evangelize, but he travels a lot during the summer. He hasn't done a whole lot of it here recently, of course, because of the corona. A lot of things were shut down. But he will be back here next week, and the band will be here. Our full band will be here playing too. And also, don't forget, like I said earlier, to sign up for Vacation Bible School. It is July the 27th through the 30th. It's a Monday through Thursday, 6:30 to 8. And if you'd like to sign up to help or to sign your kids up, please see Mary. She'll probably be back there in one of those rooms or there in the foyer. So if you'd like to do those things, please see them afterwards. You want to flip them buckets? Most of y'all know Corey wants to do something a little different from now on. And when we have a special guest come in, what we're going to do is we're going to put everything in this bucket. Normally we have somebody come up here after I'm done and talk about, you know, that I'm associated with the church. I'm an associate pastor, but I'm also what they'd call an outside minister. But if you would like to give in this bucket to me or to Danny Ray, we will split it. And then, thank you, buddy. And, how many of you know that the music is just as important as the ministry? It's not about coming to church to hear somebody preach. And like I said earlier, a lot of people come to church, they don't care about the music because they want to get there and just maybe hear some preaching because they just want to hear the preacher and they don't care about the music. They don't want to praise and worship. And they don't want to get, you know, out of your comfort zone. I'm here to tell you guys, the music is important. It should matter to you. Like I said earlier, it should matter to you. You should be doing, not just here in church, that music should be in your heart. It should be when you're driving down the road, going somewhere, it's got to be in your heart. Okay? So the music is just as important as the ministry. So everything that we will, so what you, if you would like to give to me or to Danny Ray, and first of all, I just want to say thank you so much. If you do give to us, and I probably speak on behalf of Danny, thank you. Thank you so much for believing in me and in Danny and any other minister that comes here or any other music minister that comes here. I want to say thank you right now publicly for giving to us. And I'm so thankful because I know you don't have to. I know you don't have to do any of that. I don't get paid here. So, I mean, I know you guys don't have to give me anything. And I understand that. But the ones that do give, I am so thankful. Just wanted to say thank you publicly for giving to me or to Danny. So I greatly appreciate that. I thank you so much. I'm a good receiver, though. I'm a good one. I'll take it, baby. I receive, but I'm also a giver. We got, yes. 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 So make your checks to WCCC. Don't make them to me or to Danny Ray. Now, if you go get a CD from Danny, he'll tell you how to buy from him or whatever, because he does have CDs at the back. He may have some of that prison ministry stuff. I don't know, but I didn't talk to him about that. But he does have his CDs. If you'd like one of his CDs, please go talk to him. Go back there and buy those from him. Okay? But if you would like to give to us specifically in the bucket, we'll split it. Okay? Right here in this bucket. Not that, if you haven't turned in your tithes and offerings, put them in over there if you haven't done that yet. But if you want to give to me or Danny, this is the bucket right here. WCCC, and I think I've covered everything. That. Okay. Y'all stand to your feet and we'll get out of here. Again, thank you guys for coming. And again, don't run out without going saying thank you to Danny and maybe buying a CD from him. Okay, go say thank you. He definitely has earned it. Man, he is such a, he's been coming here for so long. When I first started preaching, he was one of the first that ever came to minister or to do music while we were doing ministry in other towns and stuff. So he's been here and been with us for a very long time. He's like family. So y'all go see him after we pray and get out of here. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. We thank you for restoration. We thank you for dealing wondrously with us. And we thank you for this time of refreshing. Lord, we know we were made for a time like this. We know we were called for this time to minister your gospel to your people. We are a bold people. We are confident because we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we are so thankful that you even care, that you even care about us, Lord. Go with us this week, Lord. We declare in Jesus' name that our bodies are protected. I plead the blood of Jesus over every person in here. And I thank you, Lord, that our bodies will refuse to entertain any virus that would try to come into our bodies. We thank you and love you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. See you later. Thanks again for coming if you're a visitor.